All right, it's good to see everyone this morning, and we have a few out sick, Lynn and Linda, let's remember them. Good to see John back. Please remember Becky, she's in Bristol Regional still, and let's remember her, remember John. Gene and Joan, when I talked to him first of the week, he was still not doing well. So remember them. My brother and his wife have been sick now. Cindy's been having trouble for about 3 months, and Dave's been sick for over 2 weeks. So let's remember them. Yes, Pam's family, Mouse. Gabriel, Lorelai, Abraham. Please don't forget these. PWC. Amen. Pray without ceasing. And if you turn to chapter 5, I want to try to complete 1 Thessalonians today. I will not be here next Sunday. I'd hope Gene could fill in for me. If he's not able, I will ask you. I hope you can. I'm really wanting to go to Revelation. I don't want to do anything of my own. So I've been pouring the time into it and hoping that the Lord will give me clearance to go there. So you'll know when I get there. That's all I can say about that. Now, in chapter 5, the very first thing he talks about is what? The fact that there's things he don't need to talk about, right? You know, he says, the time, seasons, there's no need for me to write unto you. Why?
Are you aware of it?
Huh? Well, he can't tell them what he can't tell them. You know, I can't tell you what I can't tell you. Because even Jesus said, no man knoweth the time but the Father. So Paul is saying, listen, of the times and seasons, there's no need for me to try to write something to you. I don't have anything. But he says, the one thing that you do know that I don't have to tell you, turn me down just a little, is the fact that the coming of the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, his coming, will come as a... Is he talking about a thief there?
No.
No. What he's saying is it's going to be unaware. I mean, you're not going to know when he's coming. It's just going to... You know, the Bible talks about our change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How quick is that? You know, and he says, look, I'll tell you, you do know this because the Holy Spirit inside you will tell you this. He's going to come when you least expect it. But who's he talking to when he says that? Is he talking to the church at Thessalonica, or is he talking to those outside the church? That's the question, isn't it? Because if you have the Holy Spirit in you and he's saying, listen, you better be ready because he's coming. Well, you're looking for him. He ain't going to catch you off guard. The Holy Spirit's telling you all the time, hey, this is the day. He could be coming today. Watch how you live. Watch what you say. He could be coming today. But you see, to those that are not in the church, and you notice I didn't say the church in Thessalonica per se. I was talking about the church of the Thessalonians, which he started out by saying, which is in God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's who he's talking to here. That's who we are if we're saved. We're not the church at Liberty Fellowship. We're the church of the living God in Christ Jesus. And we are fully aware of His coming. Why? We talked about it now. We talked about it. And y'all have already forgot what we talked about, haven't you? That's okay. I get to teach it twice and it's wonderful. That's what's good about this thing. What was the one desire, the chief desire that Jesus had? Remember, I took you to John chapter 17, the prayer, and I've told you over and 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 over. Please read the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. It's wonderful. And the one thing that he prayed for, Father, let me return to the glory that I had with you from the beginning. His biggest desire was to return to the Father. Well, if he's living inside you and if he's living inside of me, what is the biggest desire you have? To be with the Father. That's why every day you yearn for him. Remember, he said he's returning the second time without sin unto salvation to those that are looking for him. If you're not looking for him, better get right. Better not say, well, I go to church. Better not say, well, I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old. If you ain't looking for him, something's missing. And the something is someone. And if someone's missing in you, you're in serious trouble. I don't say that judgingly. I say that comfortingly. You'll see that in a minute. You'll see it. All right. Now, so he's talking about that. And then he comes on and he says that it's going to come upon them quickly. When is it going to come up on them? Other than quickly, that's how it's going to come upon them. When is it going to come upon them? Well, they live unexpected. I mean, they don't expect. I mean, that's how they live. It says in there, when they shall say, listen, when they think they're safe, they ain't going to be safe. You see, it's not what you say. It's not what I say. It's not what the world says. It's what God says. And God says, without Christ, you don't have peace. God says, without Christ, you don't have safety. So if you say in your heart that you have peace and safety, what are you doing in effect? You're calling God a liar. Oh, that's not good. No, that's not good. That's not good. So he says, this is when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Right? I gave you a word for cometh there. Don't look at your notes, please. It doesn't help if you have to look at your notes. What did I tell you it meant? To stand on. Remember? I said, if little Brenda over here, who's having a difficult time, please remember her. She's having trouble with her little hip. Pray for her. That's a burden on her. Lift her up every morning. Lift her up. But if she were to come over here in her condition and lay down and I stand on top of her, is she going to be able to get up?
No.
Well, if she can't get up and this fat boy's standing on her, you think they're going to get up when God stands on them?
No.
That's why he says, and there it'll be as a woman in travail. And they shall. Notice the pronoun there, they. He didn't say them, we. No, 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 no. And they shall not have anywhere to flee. when God stands on. You say, Tom, come on, that's just Bible stuff. You know, that's just religious stuff. That God ain't really going to stand on nobody. Okay, just believe that. You've got a right. God gives you a right. You've got every right to not believe that. But you know when you will believe it? When you feel Him standing on you. But then you won't have anywhere to flee. And so then he goes on now. From there, he talks pronouns, doesn't he? In this day and age, isn't that wonderful? You know, God's been talking pronouns all this time, and today, now, we don't even know what pronouns are. You know, don't call me her, or don't call me him. Call me we. Z. Za. It's... Well, God still uses pronouns. In His Word, He uses pronouns. And it's important to find out which pronoun you are. Let's see. I'm going to do it very quickly, and then I'm going to finish up. Here's what He says. In chapter 5.
Okay, I know, but I'm just making sure.
I should be in chapter 4. I mean, verse 4 now, because I gave you the first three, right? But ye, brethren... Or should I say you? But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of day. That's why He won't be coming to you as a thief in the night, because you're in the day. He ain't coming during the day. He could come during the day. I don't mean it that way. But in the terminology here, He says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober for they. Now, that ain't us. See, you can't make us they, and you can't make they us. They're two different meanings. They're the others. You know, if I said others, well, that's not including me, is it? Well, no. I mean, you wouldn't use the word others to include yourself. If you don't distinguish who He's talking to here, you'll never understand what He's saying. So I'm going to make it very, very simple. You know, I like the KISS theory. Anybody know about the KISS theory?
Keep it simple, stupid.
He's talking about saved and unsaved. Lost and found. In and out. Saint and ain't. That's not hard. See, because there's no middle ground. You're either in or you're out. You can't be both. You can't say I'm in the swimming pool and out of the swimming pool. That's an impossibility, folks. I mean, you're either in the pool, and if you're not in the pool, then that means you're out of the pool. Well, you are either in Christ, or you are out of Christ. If you are in Christ, you are of the day, therefore you are not of the night. If you are in Christ, you are in the light. Therefore, you are not of the darkness. That's not complicated. But you can't be both. You can't act like you're in the light and live like you're in the darkness. That's not possible. Yet we've got people who want to do both. And because they say they got some of this, they can have some of this, and that means they're okay. No, there's no middle ground. You can't have a little of Christ and a little of the world.
No.
It's not possible.
No.
Not possible. I know people claim, I think wrongfully, but I've heard it said about me, and that's okay. Look, I'm a big boy. I can take it. I know that people say that I teach perfection. I do teach perfection. Because perfection is the standard. You can't say God requires perfection, but I got a little of it. But I ain't got all of it. Well, if you ain't got all of it, you don't have any of it. I'm not talking about the flesh not being capable of sinning. That's why Paul said every day he has to get the sword out to what? To the flesh. But don't you believe for one second that Paul wasn't perfect, folks. Because if you are in Christ, you are perfect. And don't you ever be ashamed to tell someone, yeah, I'm perfect. The new creature in Christ Jesus, bless God, is perfect. Old things have. Now listen, either they have or they've not. I'm going to go with what God says. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what Paul is trying to get them to see here at Thessalonica. Because in every church, in this church, I'm not talking about the church of God now. I'm talking about an organization. I'm talking about a group of people that have organized and put a name outside on the church. It's got a steeple and all that. But in every one, make no mistake about it, there is wheat, but there's also tares. Now, what is it about tares? Why did he say don't pluck up the tires? Huh? No, wait. I got somebody answering back here. I got to go. Be back. Do what now? Now, wait a minute. Don't start stuttering. You answered. Give me the same answer.
Act just like the wheat.
No, they don't act.
No. They act like they're part of the wheat, but they're not. No, and the guy, and he says, don't pluck them out because you don't really know who they are. And in the end time,
you want to teach?
I'll take care
of it. I didn't ask for a whole lesson. I just asked for a question, crying out loud. Now I got me an assistant teacher. I know who to call on that. And every time I come, oh, Tom, I can't teach.
Oh.
But now I know he can't. You see, the tire, if you put a tire in this hand, and a wheat in this hand, the seed. Did you know that you can't distinguish between the two?
Really?
No. Oh, wow. They look just alike. You know when you can distinguish the two? When the fruit comes up. You shall know them by their fruit.
Oh, okay.
See, there's people in church. And I don't say this judgingly. I say it. I'm trying to get people to understand. You got to know. You can't just come and say, now this is, oh yeah, this is how they act. This is how Christians act. This is, okay, I got it down now. I got it down. I can act just like them. Yeah, you can. For a while. But 1 John says this, folks, talking about the Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but those that are Antichrist. They came out from among us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us. You can't do it on your own. When the tire starts showing the fruit, my friend, you'll realize who you are then. But do you know the problem with that? What's the problem with that? The harvest don't come to the end. Christ and His angels will be the one to harvest. It'll be too late then. The time is now. That's why He says He's saying one message to one side and one message to another, because one side's in the light and of the day, and the other side, they are in the night and of darkness. And so He goes on and He says this. He says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night." That's who they are. That's what they do. That's why they're not alert. That's why it will find them unaware. It will come as a thief in the night to them, because that's where they are, in the night. They know nothing of day. They know nothing of light. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's either in or out. So He says, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are..." You are who you are. You're either a child of God or you're not. And you can act like one. You can deceive yourself. You can deceive your family. And look, I'm not talking to anybody particularly in here, please. I'm trying to teach this. You can deceive yourself, you can deceive your family, but you can't deceive God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why? Why? Why is that the case? Let's talk now. Come on, help me out. Why is that the case? That's the law of God. Well, okay, now you've said something, but now you've got to give me more. You said that's the law of God, so what law is it that makes that true?
Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
No, he shall also reap whatever he sows. What makes that the law of God? Go all the way back to the beginning now, when God created all. He said, like shall produce like. Because He goes on to say, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Why? Because like produces like. It's that simple, my friend. That's why. Homosexuality, you are not born that way. You're calling God a liar when you say you were born that way. You can't take two heterosexuals and produce a child and that child be different than them heterosexuals. It's going to be a male or a female. Why? Because like produces like. And you can believe this other nonsense if you want to, but I'll tell you what. You're in the night. You're in the dark. It's that simple. It's not complicated. So He goes on to say, but let... Well, who's the us, sir? Since you answered me, Anthony, and thank you for that. Who's the us, sir? Huh? Well, more. I need more than that. No, hey, don't be helping him. You can't teach, remember? Crying out loud, y'all sitting, you got a teacher over here and y'all cheating. Can't you stop them?
No cheating, you're not trying.
Now there's a teacher. There's a teacher. There's the rule. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Mine. That's okay. So what does that mean? You're of the light. Why?
Because I'm of the lie.
Well, why?
Because his son Christ Jesus.
Why? Follow what we've been talking about. The law. What was the law? Help him out over here. What was the law? No. Who said it? Like produces light, which is Christ, produces light. That's the difference. See, because that's what distinguishes us from religion. We're born again.
Amen.
We're born of God. We're born of light. And light produces light. And light don't ever become darkness. Because it says, He is the light of the world, and in Him is no darkness. Next two words, no darkness at all, which means nowhere close. Let's move on. I gotta hurry. Oh yeah, okay. All right. So he says this. But let us who are of the day be. What does that mean? Well, if you're sober, you're not drunk. Remember, they that are drunk are drunken in the night. So you can't be drunk and sober to. Oh, come on. Anybody, listen, I'll use myself. I've been drunk. I've been so drunk I couldn't remember driving home.
Couldn't remember what happened.
I'm not saying that to brag about it. I'm ashamed of it. But I know what drunk is. Drunk ain't sober. That's why when they pull you over, bless God, don't even, I can't even do it sober. I hope they don't pull me over. My goodness. They take me to jail for sure. But they give you this test, you know.
Yeah.
You can't touch it because you're drunk.
Yep.
You're not in your right mind. Well, you can't be drunk and sober.
At the same time, no.
It's not possible. I mean, you couldn't go before the judge and say, Judge, I know I failed that test, but I was as sober as I could be. Folks, you can't wish yourself into salvation. You are who you are. The question begs, who am I? Who am I? That's why Paul said it this way. He said, examine yourself. Why did he say that? Well, because there's two people that know who you are. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your son. It's not your daughter. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. There's two people that know who you are. One is God. And the other is you. That's why he says, examine yourself. That you be in the faith. Make sure, he says. Know you not, he says, that Christ liveth in you. Listen, that's why I say, folks, if you live like the world.
No.
I don't hush. If I said if you live like the world, that's who you are. Don't try to tell people you're not that. Don't try to tell yourself you're not that. If the world means something to you, that's who you are. Examine yourself, that you be in the faith. Know you not, he says. Don't you realize that Christ liveth in you? Do you think that if a person has Christ dwelling in them, they can just live like the world? He said, don't you know that Christ dwelleth in you except... You be a reprobate, a cast off. If Christ ain't in you, my friend, you're a cast off. You can talk yourself blue in the face of what you think you are. If Christ ain't in you, you're a reprobate. You're lost as a, like old preacher used to say, as a ball in high weeds. You know, every now and then I hit a ball. I didn't used to. I used to could hit my ball wherever I wanted to. Now I hit it wherever it wants to go. And sometimes it goes in high weeds. I don't even go look because you can't find a ball in high weeds. That's how lost a person is. No need to look for yourself. You're lost. You have to come to Christ. You can't say, well, I think I'll start going to church. I'm going to give you an example. Anybody hear about Hampton High School? They're state champs now. Not since 1960. When a guy that I thought the world of was the coach, Buck Van Hus. His best friend was my high school coach, Charlie Bayless. But they won yesterday. And they've got a young man, his name is Caden Buckles. He finished runner-up to Mr. Basketball in their division in the state. He played against the young man that won it. And, you know, they were talking to him before the game and everything. You know, and they were trying to sort of bait him, I think, the media does. And they said, do you feel bad because you didn't win Mr. Basketball? You came in second? And he said, I don't even think about Mr. Basketball. All we want is that gold ball that wins it all. But something far more than that about that young man. He won't practice on Wednesday night. No need for the coach to ask him. He's going to be in church. But you know what? His coach don't ask because his coach is in church. They don't sit down and eat a team meal unless that young man asks the blessing. They don't go somewhere that young man don't have a testimony for Christ. He's more than a state champ. He's a child of God. I told his assistant coach, good friend of mine, Mike Matheson, I said, you know, he reminds me of Daniel, who as a teenager declared for the Lord. And God gave him wisdom above everything. Did you know that young man will graduate from high school with 2 college degrees? Think about that. You say, Tom, what's important about that? He's of the day. He honored the Lord. The Lord honored him. Not complicated. Not complicated, folks. So he says this. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. What's he saying? Somebody summarize that for me. 3 words. Thank you. Thank you. Put on Christ. Let Christ show. Why? You know, if you go in a dark room and there's nobody to turn on the light, everybody in there is going to stump their toe. Can't see. How are they going to know they're in the dark if they don't know what the light looks like? I mean, and I say this respectfully, please. I say it very respectfully. Let's take a blind person, blind from birth. They've never known anything but darkness. If they get their eyesight, That'll be the first time in their life that they know what light looks like. Well, folks, a person that's lost is as blind as a bat. Because even Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, and they shall both fall into the ditch. They won't know what light looks like unless we show them light. But you know what? Our light does shine. It doesn't shine because we cut on a switch. Our light shines because like produces like. If Christ is in us, our light's going to shine. Now, I would admit in a second that some people's light shine brighter. I get that. But if your light ain't shining, I believe I'd check up. Because light produces light, and Christ is light, folks, and He's going to shine. He says, so let your light shine among men, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is it. He's going to shine because He wants the glory. It's that simple, not hard. So He goes on to say this. For God hath not appointed us to, well, us and them is two different people, folks. Us and they is two different people. So if He didn't appoint us, what does that mean? He did appoint them. You know, the Bible says it very clearly. They that believe not, the wrath of God abideth on them. But to them that believe, have everlasting life. See the difference? He's not appointed us to wrath because we're of the day. We're of Christ. He's delivered us from that. He's not going to deliver you. You're delivered. You're not hoping to be delivered. You're delivered. He says, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come? And He says this. I forgot my place. I'll get it though. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Two entirely different things, folks. You can't have His wrath on you and His salvation in you. That's not possible. It's not possible. Now, what made all that possible? Well, He says in the next verse, who died for us? Folks, without the death of Christ, we'd all be in darkness. Because there'd be no rebirth. There'd be no being born light. There'd be no being born of the day. We'd all be in darkness. And there's not but one place darkness is going to end up. Where's that? In darkness. In hell. That's how the Bible describes it. Darkness. You say, well, how could it be darkness and it be fire too? Don't fire give off light? Not that fire. I don't know how God has a fire that don't give off light, but He's God. And I'm going to tell you something else. You know what keeps the flame going? You ever think about that? I mean, you know, flames need fuel. If it's in the forest, it needs trees. If it's in the stove, it needs wood or coal or something. It needs fuel to keep going, otherwise it goes out. So what's going to keep hell burning forever? Where's the fuel come from? Huh? Now, wait a minute. I got to go back. I had to answer. I'll be back.
I said lost souls.
That's exactly what it is. Did you know that you'll be the fuel for hell if you go there? That's what the Bible says. Hey, I'll show it to you. He says, you'll be salted. What does that mean? Preserved. You'll be preserved, bless God, and you're going to keep fueling that fire, the very fire that burns in you, and you ain't going to burn up and it ain't going to quench. And the worm will not die. What a place. Boy, I can't wait to get there. Hello. I was just wondering if anybody's here. Then He goes on to say, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together Now, the sleep there ain't talking about the unsaved. The sleep there is death. Remember he said, you know, he's talking about Lazarus to his disciples, and he said, he sleepeth. And they said, oh, well, if he sleepeth, then he do well. And Jesus said, no, he's dead. Remember what I told you about sleep? Please, somebody remember what I said about sleep? Well, hey, good answer, Anthony. At least you tried. You're only asleep if somebody can wake you up. Otherwise, they call you dead. It's sleep to the one who can wake you. And he says, whether you're awake, whether you're alive, or whether you're dead, it won't matter. We're going to live with him forever. Because he's already covered at the last trump. You know, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, and so shall we. You know, he's already covered that, so that's what he's just reiterating that. So he goes on to say, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Stand up. Stand up. Turn around. Now I'm going to read it to you. And we plead with you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and stand before you. That's what the word over you means. It doesn't mean that he hoards over you and you're going to do what I tell you. No. He says, who are over you, notice, hey, in the Lord. So when he stands in the pulpit in the Lord, you're to esteem him highly. That's what it says. You can sit down now, brother. Thank you. That's what it says. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are standing in front of you in the Lord and admonish you. Gently reprove you is the definition there. Gently reprove you. It's not him that reproves us. It's the Word of God in the Lord that reproves us. And we're to accept it. And we're to esteem him and our pastor highly, because they've been called to do that. If they've been called, if they've not been called, I ain't listening to them. I'd hope they wouldn't be here if they hadn't been called. Now, and he says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among all, be at peace among yourselves. Now he's going to go through. What, and I got to do this really quick. He's going to go through what it looks like to be in the light. Here's what we should look like now. So check yourself. Check yourself. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them. Now the word warn there is the same word as he just said he does, admonish. It's gently reprove. So he says, gently reprove them that are unruly. Them that don't want to esteem him highly because he's preaching the word and it got on their toes. He said, now you need to gently admonish them. That's not good. It's not good to be against rule, God's rule. So he says, and to comfort the feeble-minded. Now the word there means to encourage the spiritually weak. The feeble-minded there is the spiritually weak. We're to encourage them. Come on now. Come on. You can do this. You've got the strength inside. You know how to encourage, mostly with the word. And then he says, and support the weak. What he means there is stand alongside the physically weak, the sick, the shut in. Support them. Help hold them up. You remember Moses when they were doing the battle, and as long as they held his arms up, went well. But boy, if they got tired and his arms went down, didn't go. Listen, when you're sick, you get disheartened. I heard someone say recently, you know, that they didn't want to be an invalid, that they wanted to keep going, that they wasn't going to sit down. They was going to keep going. You could tell it was a burden on them. Well, folks, we're to hold them up. Encourage them. Hold them up. And then he says this, and be patient. Boy, and that got me. God. We're to be long-suffering. I'm the world's worst toward all men. And then says this, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, But ever follow. Ever follow. Always pursue that which is beneficial. Always. Remember in John, he said, he was talking about the bread of life, you know, and if you eat this life, you'll never die. And they said, Lord, give us this bread evermore. You know, don't stop giving us this bread. Well, that's what he's talking about. Don't stop following that which is beneficial. And then he goes on and gives this litany of things. He says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Same word. Don't stop rejoicing. Why? Because we've got so much to rejoice about. He died for us. We're of the day. We're of the light. We're going to be present with Him. Whether we sleep or die, or whether we're awake or die, we're going to be present with Him. We've got so much to rejoice about. I know there's circumstances here. I know there's situations here that get us down. But folks, that's why He says His grace is sufficient.
That's right.
We can rejoice in it. And then He says this, pray without ceasing. Oh, folks, I wish we could pray more.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish we'd lift each other up more. And then He says this, in everything give thanks. Boy, that's tough. You know, and that means the good and the bad. You know, that means both. When you're down, give thanks. When you're up, give thanks. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why you should give thanks. This is God's will for you. You know, when I told them I had a deal in my own life, they said, I'm going to pray that the Lord will take that away. I said, oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare. You just prayed I'd be faithful to God. God take care of all the other, you know. Hey, God will take care of that. I ain't worried about that. So he goes on and he says, quench not the Spirit. Don't put the fire of God out in your life. Don't pour water on God's Spirit. How would you do that? Well, trying to act like the world. Don't do that, he says. That's not of the day. And if you keep doing it, that means you're of the night. Despise not prophesying. Here's what that means. Don't count as naught the preaching of God. The Word of God. He's talking to children of God now. You know, sometimes we don't like what's preached because it gets on us. But he says, oh, don't you count that as naught. Prove all things, hold fast that which is different word here. Good here is different. It means beautiful, virtuous, valuable. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's tough. That's tough. Because see, the flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And it's easy sometimes somebody tell a little joke and we laugh at it. When we wouldn't tell it in here. If you won't tell it in here, don't listen to it out there. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Well, if we don't do that, the darkness won't ever see what light's like. If the light looks like the darkness, they're going to think, well, we're in the light because I don't see a difference. And then he says this, and the very God of peace, I love this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Did you know that when we talk about man, we talk about body, soul, and spirit, right? But did you notice the reverse here? It's important. It's not a mistake. It's for a reason. God don't see man as man sees man. God looketh upon the inside. Man looks upon the outside. So when God looks at you, he looks at you first, your spirit, soul, and then body. And Paul says, oh, I'm praying that he'll preserve you. Anybody, we all know what that means. Keep you completely. Sanctify you completely. Keep you completely. Faithful is he that calleth you that shall also do it. Well, who called you? Who called you? God through Christ called you. Is God faithful in every way, shape, form, or fashion? So if the faithful God called you and you need preserving or keeping, who's going to do it? You say, well, now I'm going to walk that straight and narrow. You ain't going to, come on in, I'm almost done. You ain't going to do nothing but fail. But I'll tell you who will preserve you, who will keep you. The same one that called you, because he's faithful. He's not going to call you to be his son. He's not going to call you to be light. He's not going to call you to be of the day. Bless God and not keep you there. He may have to get the belt out sometime, but he's going to keep you there. And then he says this, brethren, and I say this with all love towards you, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to pray for you without ceasing. Pray for me. Greet all the brethren with love. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's the truth, he says. Amen. All right. Thank you.